الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the discussion of the essay of Al-Shaykh Al-Allama Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Al-Sa'adi, his essay entitled Al-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajratul Iman. And this book, it deals with the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, the parable dealing with the good word. The parable of the good word, which is like a good tree. Kalima tayyiba, which is like shajara tayyiba. The Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, has taken the title of his book from this topic of the comparison of the good word with a good tree. Shajaratul Iman, the tree of Iman. And he has entitled this book, The Clarification and Explanation of this example or this parable that is given in the Quran dealing with Shajaratul Iman, the tree of Iman. Last week in the first lecture of this series, we discussed some introductory topics such as the importance of seeking knowledge in general and the importance of this particular knowledge, the knowledge of Aqidah, that it is the most important of all knowledge. And this particular issue, the issue of Iman, is the most important issue of the issues of Aqidah. And we also mentioned the biography of the author, Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi, and some of the sayings of the early scholars of the Muslim Ummah, dealing issue of Iman, and how the scholars of Sunnah defined Al-Iman. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to start with the introduction of the author, the muqaddima of the author, Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. And he began by praising Allah, Allah who has planted the tree of Iman in the hearts of His chosen believers, His chosen servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has planted this tree, the tree of Iman. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has watered it, and He is the one who has nourished it with beneficial knowledge and true information and the continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all of the day and the night. And He is the one who made this tree, Shajaratul Iman, to give its fruits and its blessings all the time, at every time, from those good things, al-khayrat, and the abundant bounties, the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After praising Allah with these words, he said, and I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partner. He is the one who is over, who has conquered everything. And He is the one who is generous, and He is merciful, and He is forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said that I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the chosen messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he prayed the prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-bararati al-akhyar. Then he said after this introduction, فَهَذَا كِتَابٌ يَحْتَوِي عَلَىٰ. This book consists of what? And in the introduction to the book, he tells us first what this book consists of. What are the essential matters that he will deal with in this brief essay? He said it consists of the researches dealing with al-Iman. The researches, the issues that the scholars have presented and clarified related to matters of al-Iman. And he said that these researches, they are the most important of the researches of deen. And they are the greatest of the fundamentals of the truth, al-haq and yaqeen. And he said that these researches and what he has said about it, it will be taken from the book, the noble book of Allah, which is solely responsible for achieving or realizing these fundamentals. Realizing them in a way that there can be no coming after it. There's nothing more than that. What we will find in the Quran, there will be nothing that will come after that, that will give more than that. It will be taken from the book of Allah, the Quran, and from the sunnah of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That sunnah which agrees with the Quran and explains it and expresses so many of the matters that have been mentioned in the Quran, mujmalan, yani in general, or mutlaqan, absolute, without being restricted or defined or confined. And the sunnah confines and restricts and defines and explains and gives the details of that which has been mentioned in the Quran in general or in the absolute sense without specification. He said that these researches that we would discuss, they will be based on or taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beginning with the first area that he will deal with is the tafsir of Iman, the explanation of what is Iman. Before discussing the matters of Iman, the first thing is to know what is Iman. So the first issue that he deals with, the first section of the book is dealing with the explanation or the tafsir of al-Iman. The second area that he will deal with, he said it is the mention of the fundamentals and the constituent or component, essential factors of Iman, the essential parts of Iman, and that from which Iman is drawn. Yani, what are the essentials and the usul, the fundamentals of Iman, and those things that Iman is drawn from? That is the second section of the book, its fundamentals, its essential elements, and that which Iman is drawn from. The third area of the book, or the last section of the book that he said he will deal with, are matters related to the benefits and the fruits of Iman. The benefits that one gets from Iman, and the fruits that are produced by Iman, and that which follows these fundamentals. After that, he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his essay based upon from Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 24 and 25, the saying of Allah, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Do you not see, or did you not consider, how Allah has made the example or the parable, the method, the example of what? كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً, a good word. كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً, like a good tree. The good word, its example is that of a good tree. Asluha thabitun. What is the description of this tree? He said, Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fi as-sama. Yani the asl, the essence, the foundation, the source of that tree, it is thabit. It is firmly established in the earth. Its roots are deep in the earth. So it cannot be moved. It cannot be removed. It cannot be uprooted. That is the tree that this kalima tayyiba is compared to. The kalima tayyiba is a tawheed. And it being firmly established, like the tree is established in the earth, it is that the kalima of tawheed is firmly established in the heart of the mu'min. Kalima tawheed, it cannot be uprooted from the true believer. He said, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجْرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Its foundation, it is firmly established in the earth, and its branches are high up in the sky. The branches of that tree are high up in the sky. The roots of it is deep in the earth, drinking from the pure water of the earth. And its branches are high in the sky, breathing the fresh air that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for it. And as a result of that, تُعْتِي عُقُولَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. It gives of its fruit at every time, continuously, constantly, by the permission of its Lord. It is a tree that gives its fruit all the time. It is always productive, day and night, in every season and every time, winter or summer or fall. It is always giving its fruit. Then he said, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That Allah sets forth parables or examples for the people, that perhaps they might reflect, they might consider this example, and what is its meaning, and how does it apply to us, and what is the benefit that we can get from it. And the verses that follow also mention the example of the kalima khabitha, the evil word, which is like an evil tree, to the end of those ayats. Then the Shaykh says, after mentioning this ayah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the example of kalimatul iman, the example of the word of iman, which is the best and the most pure. He has compared it to a tree, which is the best and most pure of trees. The purest of words he has compared to the purest of trees. And it is described with these praiseworthy characteristics. What are the characteristics of this kalima tayyibah that is compared to the shajara tayyibah? He said, number one, usuluha thabitatun. Yani its foundations, the foundations of it, they are thabit, firmly established in the earth, so that they cannot be uprooted. And also, its growth is continuous, ongoing. It doesn't grow and stop, but it keeps growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And its fruits, they are also continuously being given in every time to its people, yani to the people of Iman, the mu'minun, and to others besides them. It is giving the fruits and benefits, innumerable, multiple, various types of benefits and beneficial fruits. And in this tree, if we consider a tree that is giving fruits all the time, it is constantly growing and it is always giving its fruits in every season, then indeed it is a good example of kalima tayyibah. Kalimatul iman, kalimatul tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Because the one who possesses this word, who has it in his heart firmly rooted, understanding its meaning, knowing what it means and what it requires, truthfully saying it, being certain about it, loving what it means and complying with it and accepting it fully, the one who has this word and fulfills its conditions, indeed it will produce fruit in every time. The Shaykh says that this tree, Shajratul Iman, the tree of Iman, in the hearts of the believers, it differs, it varies, it excels in some hearts more than in others. And that excellence, or superiority, or difference from one to another, it is a great difference. It is not a small difference. The shajaratul iman that is in the heart of one may not be anything like it is in another. The iman, for example, of the people of today is not like the iman that was in the early generations of the Muslims in time of Sahaba and Tabi'een and those who followed their way. The iman of those from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who met him on one occasion or stayed with him for one or two days. It's not like those who accompanied him daily, regularly for years. The iman of the general population of Sahaba is not like the iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Therefore, the iman that is in the heart of the believers, he said it differs. And there is a great difference between that which is in the heart of one to that which is in the heart of another, in accordance with and based upon these descriptions that Allah has described this tree with. The descriptions that He has described it with, and its foundations are established firmly. If it is firmly established in the heart of one, it will not be the same in another, the same way. And its roots or its branches are high in the sky. It will be higher for some than for others, and the fruits that it gives, that it produces, will be different from one to another. It is in accordance with these descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this tree with, to the extent that it is in the heart of that person more and more, then that tree will be greater, and the results or the fruits that it produces will be greater. Therefore, he said, in light of this, it is incumbent upon the one who Allah has given success to, al-abd al-muwaffaq. If Allah has given tawfiq to somebody, that he has entered Islam and that he has believed in Allah, and he has come to know about this shajaratul iman, he knows what it is and what is its importance, then he must strive in knowing that tree, in knowing that kalima, and in knowing its descriptions and its causes, the things that cause it to grow, to increase, its fundamentals, its branches. He must strive and struggle to achieve it, to realize it, to realize it. Not just to claim iman, but to realize it in his life. Ilman wa amalan. He must have the knowledge of that iman, and he must act in accordance with it. There are those who claim that they have iman, and they don't need to know, they don't have to have knowledge, they don't have to study, because they have iman already. But it is required of the believer, not only to claim that iman, but to really know it, to study it and to search it, to know its details and to act in accordance with it. For indeed, that which a person will receive of good and success and happiness now and later, it is in accordance with how much he will receive from this tree. How much of this tree he achieves or he realizes. To the extent that he realizes this shajaratul iman in his heart, having firm conviction and knowledge, and the heart acting, doing those things that are required of it, having love and hope and fear, and that which is called the actions of the heart, the ibadah of the heart. To the extent that the person does this and then acts in accordance with it by the body parts, doing those physical things that are required of it, whether it is prayer or fasting or whatever, to the extent that a person achieves something from this shajaratul iman, to that extent that person will achieve al-khayr, wal-falah, wal-sa'ada. All of these things, all of the good of this world and the next, true success and happiness, the purpose, the perfect happiness that is in the next life, as well as the happiness of this world, is all achieved through realizing this tree of iman. The first section, after the introduction, the Shaykh mentions, he said the first thing that he will deal with in this book, it is the definition of al-iman. So the first section, it is dealing with the definition of iman and its explanation. What is al-iman? What is its explanation? The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, that the boundaries of things and the explanation of things, or that which clarifies it, yani which clarifies anything, the boundaries of it and the explanations that clarify it, have to come before its ahkam, before the rulings dealing with that thing. It can deal with what are the rulings of iman. First, we have to know what is its definition, what are its boundaries. For indeed, the ruling concerning things are a secondary branch, yani that come forth from first having a picture of what that thing is, having a clear concept of that thing. Before making a ruling on something, we have to have a concept of the thing that we want to make a ruling about. Therefore, before discussing the masail or the issues of iman and ruling on what is required and what is necessary and what is accepted and what is not, it is first required to have a clear picture, a clear concept of al-iman. He said that whoever makes a ruling or a judgment concerning any matter before having complete knowledge of that thing and its explanation and a conceptual picture or image of that thing to distinguish it from other things, whoever makes a ruling before doing so, then that person has made a terrible mistake. They have made a severe mistake. Therefore, it is incumbent for us to know the reality of what is iman before we can discuss the issues or the masail and the rulings concerning or that are related to al-iman. As for the boundaries or the definition of iman and its explanation, the Shaykh gives this definition. He said that it is at-tasdiq al-jazim, yani a decisive or definite confirmation or affirmation. Yani something that is definite and certain and there's no doubt about it. The idea or the conviction that one has, it should be definite, certain and absolute. He said it is at-tasdiq al-jazim, definite confirmation or attestation. Wal-i'tiraf at-tam, and complete and perfect confession or admission or acknowledgement. Acknowledging this thing completely, totally, without any hesitation. Confirmation and acknowledgement of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered us with, that we are required to have iman in. Yani everything that Allah has ordered us to believe in, to have iman in, we are required to have a definite, decisive, definitive confirmation of that thing and complete, total, perfect confession or acknowledgement of it. In addition to al-inqiyad zahiran wa batinan, that a person surrender and comply inwardly and outwardly. And it is clear from his definition that he has given here, even if the wording is different than some of the definitions that other scholars have given, the meaning is very clear. It requires that a person have a definite conviction and belief and attestation to whatever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us to believe in. And likewise, we must comply with those things, compliance, any willing surrender and compliance inwardly as well as outwardly. It is not sufficient that we comply outwardly, that we perform the prayers and we fast in Ramadan and we act as the Muslims act outwardly, while in our heart there is something else. But true iman, it requires compliance inwardly and outwardly. It requires conviction in the heart and it requires action. Compliance means to act in accordance with it, to obey what Allah has ordered us with, and to avoid what Allah has prohibited us from. It is clear from this definition that he intends that iman is not only that which is in the heart, but it is also the actions that are required of the one who claims that iman. Hence he says that this iman, it is tasdiq al-qalb wa i'tiqadihi. It is the confirmation of truth, the confirmation of the truth that is in the heart and its belief, the conviction that is in the heart. And this tasdiq and i'tiqad that is in the heart, he said, it includes the actions of the heart and the actions of the body. And this is a very important point that the Shaykh makes here, because here he is making it clear that not only the actions of the body, but there are also actions of the heart. There is belief or conviction in the heart, and there is also actions of the heart, and both of them are required, as opposed to those who differed, who deviated and claimed that whoever has conviction in their heart, they are a mu'min, kamil al-iman. This is a falsehood, that if somebody has conviction in their heart, believing truly in Allah, that Allah is the creator, that is sufficient. That they are complete, perfect mu'min. That is not so. But the iman that is required is the iman that is not only conviction in the heart, but it is also the actions of the heart, that a person should love Allah. It is the action of the heart, and that they should fear Allah, and that they should have hope in Allah, not in something other than Allah. So that this heart, it is accompanied by the actions of the heart, in addition to that which is clear, the actions of the body. The requirements of the Muslim, the wajibat, and the mustahabat, yani those things that Islam requires of us to fulfill or to perform. This, he says, it covers and it includes the fulfilling of the whole of the deen in totality. Fulfilling everything in the deen. Iman requires fulfilling everything that Islam requires of us. It's not a part of it, but it is the whole of it. That you must submit yourself to Allah totally and completely. For this reason, al-a'imma wa salaf, the imams of the Muslim ummah and the early generations of the Muslim ummah, they used to say, al-imanu qawlul qalbi wal lisani wa amalul qalbi wal lisani wal jawarih. That iman, it is speech of the heart and the tongue. And it is actions of the heart and the tongue and the body parts. Yani it is speech and actions, as the scholars said. In fact, this statement, it is the exact wording of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his famous essay, Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah. He has said concerning iman, these words, al-iman, it is speech of the heart and the tongue. It is the speech of the heart and the tongue. And it is the actions of the heart and the actions of the tongue and the actions of the body parts. It is speech and action. But that speech and action, it applies to the heart as well as the tongue and the body parts. So he said it is speech and it is action and it is conviction. And it increases with obedience and it decreases with disobedience. And iman increases with obedience to Allah. Whoever obeys Allah, their iman will increase. If a person remembers Allah, making dhikr, or makes dua, or reads Quran, if a person says these words that are acts of worship, their iman will increase with it. If a person does like salat, or siyam, or hajj, or commanding the good and forbidding the wrong, if a person does these things indeed, their iman increases with it. So he said, it is speech, and it is action, and it is conviction, and it increases with obedience, and decreases with disobedience. Then he said, just to further clarify the point, he said that it includes aqa'id al-iman, yani the tenets, the things that a Muslim is required to believe in, the aqa'id of al-iman. The things that we hold as the creed of Islam, as well as the akhlaq of iman. And iman also has akhlaq. There is a certain character, there are morals, manners, that are a part of iman. The person who acts outside of that, it is a reflection on the iman that he claims. If we see a person lying, this is not the akhlaq of iman, of the mu'min. Iman has akhlaq, it has character, manners, morals that a Muslim is required to observe. وَعَمَالُهُ And likewise, their actions or deeds or works that are part of iman. Then he says, mentioning some of the usul of iman, the fundamentals, yani those essential aspects of iman. Iman has fundamentals and it has branches. The fundamentals, the usul, the most important matters of iman, he mentions a number of them. The first of them, he said, that agreement and confession to whatever is for Allah, yani whatever belongs to Allah, of His beautiful names, and perfect and exalted or sublime characteristics, and the actions that come forth as a result of His names and character. And in the first fundamental of the fundamentals of iman, it is confession or admission or agreement to whatever has come to us in the Quran and Sunnah concerning the names of Allah and His characteristics. The beautiful names of Allah and the perfect characteristics of Allah, we must confess and believe in them and acknowledge them. In addition to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are a result of those names and characteristics. The actions that come forth naturally as a result of His beautiful names and perfect characteristics. Secondly, he said also from the greatest of the fundamentals of Islam, yani is this acknowledgement of Allah's names and characteristics and the actions, the af'al of Allah that are a result of His names and characteristics. Likewise, from the usul of Iman, he said, it is the acknowledgement of the exclusive rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as His divinity and His right of worship, acknowledging this inwardly, outwardly as well as inwardly. This is from the usul of Iman. Acknowledging Allah's exclusive right to be worshipped, that He is alone in the right to be worshipped, that He is alone in being described with divinity. And nobody, no one, nothing shares with Him these rights which are exclusive to Him. The right of worship is exclusive to Allah and no one shares with Him in it. Whoever offers any act of worship to other than Allah, they have fallen into shirk. Shirk Akbar. Major shirk that takes a person out of Islam. If a person offers an act of worship to other than Allah, they go out of Islam by this act. It takes you out of Islam. Because this is from the exclusive rights of Allah that He doesn't share with anyone. Also he said from the usul of Iman, the fundamentals of Islam, it is the acknowledgement or the admission and confession of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about concerning His angels and His forces. Those things which were present in the past or that will be present in the future, as well as what He has informed us about concerning the Day of Judgment. Yani acknowledging whatever Allah has informed us about of the unseen things, like the angels and the forces of Allah, that which existed in the past and we didn't see it, or that which will be in existence in the future and we will not see it, we must believe in it. We must acknowledge it and accept it, including whatever Allah has said concerning the Day of Judgment. All of this, he said, is from the fundamentals of Islam. And likewise, from the fundamentals of Islam, is having Iman in all of the messengers, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. All of the messengers and prophets that Allah has sent to the nations, from the beginning of time, from the first prophet Adam alayhi salam, until the last messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believing in all of them, and whatever they have been described with, in the book and the sunnah, of the praiseworthy characteristics. All that they have been described with, we must believe in it. The prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is from the usul of Iman. Then he says, likewise from the greatest of the usul of Iman, it is the acknowledgement of Allah being singled out, bil-wahdaniyah. That Allah is the only one that is unique. There is nothing and no one in this world, in existence, in the universe, that is unique. Only Allah is unique. This wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an exclusive characteristic that belongs to Him alone. It is an exclusive characteristic that belongs to Allah alone. And we don't say that Allah is one, the oneness of Allah. Naam, Allah is one. And also you are one, and I am one. But Allah is unique. The uniqueness of Allah. It's not just the oneness of Allah. The oneness meaning that He is not multiple. Naam, that is true. But what is more important is that Allah is unique. That there is nothing like Him. There is nothing similar to Him. There is nothing comparable to Him. There is nothing equal to Him. This is the wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is alone in this wahdaniyah. And in uluhiyah, His divinity. And likewise, the worship of Allah alone, without making any partner with Him. And ikhlas ad-deen lillah. Yani making the deen solely for Allah alone. That the ibadah and the ta'ah, it all belongs to Allah alone. Then the Shaykh says, Likewise, from the fundamentals of Iman, the important fundamentals of Iman, these are essential aspects of Iman. They are not the branches. It is the fulfilling of all of the laws of Islam. The outward laws of Islam, yani the laws of the Sharia, of what is prohibited and what is obligatory and so on. The outward laws of Islam as well as the inner realities, beliefs of Islam. Fulfilling all of these things. This is also from the fundamentals, the usul of Iman. It means that we must comply with whatever Islam requires of us. Whether it is in the outward actions or whether it is in the matters of the heart, we must comply with it. We must surrender. We must willingly submit and obey. All of this is from the usul of Iman. Then the Shaykh closes this section by saying, it is for this reason, yani these things that he has mentioned, that which are from the usul of Iman, it is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made Iman the basis for other things. It is the basis upon which a person will enter the Jannah and be saved from the fire. Based on Iman. No one but a believer will enter the Jannah. And no true believer who dies on Tawheed would remain in the fire. Because even if they committed major sins from which they didn't repent, and Allah punished them instead of forgiving them, and He may forgive whomever He wills, anything less than shirk. But if Allah punished them justly for their sins that they didn't repent from, they would never remain in the hellfire. Because they would be taken out by the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ, or the shafa'ah of whoever Allah allowed to intercede. Or they would be taken out by the mercy of Allah because of their tawheed and their iman. So iman is the basis upon which one would enter the paradise. And it is the basis upon which a person would avoid entering the hellfire, or they would come out of it if they entered it as a result of that which they have done in this world of disobedience to Allah. Likewise, based upon Iman is the pleasure of Allah and success and happiness. Yani earning Allah's pleasure, it is based on Iman. No one can earn the pleasure of Allah who doesn't have Iman. And no one can really have success, true success. Not the successful business, but real success in this life and the next, it is only by submission, total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success and happiness and earning the pleasure of Allah, it is all based upon Iman. And this would not be except based on what we have mentioned, yani the Shaykh saying, based on what he has mentioned of the all-inclusiveness of Iman, which includes the aqa'id, yani the beliefs, the creed, the tenets that we believe in, as well as the actions of the heart, as well as the actions of the limbs or the body parts. He said this would never be so, all of this, that a person would be entering the paradise or saved from the fire or earning Allah's pleasure and so on, unless Iman actually includes that which is in the heart of conviction and actions, as well as the actions of the body parts. And he said finally that whenever something of these matters has passed someone, yani they have missed it, whatever we have missed of these matters of Iman, then it will be the cause of a naqs, a defect or shortcoming. It will be a defect in our Iman, and it will be the cause of the loss of the reward of Allah and the earning of the punishment, in accordance with how much of the Iman has passed us, whatever we have missed. Whatever we have missed of it, whether it is of that which is in the heart or that which is performed by the body parts, to the extent that we have missed any part of Iman, to that extent we will have a defect in our Iman, and to that extent we will lose some of the reward of Allah and earn His punishment. This is the end of what the Shaykh says concerning the general points related to the definition of Iman. And then he goes on to mention a number of ayahs from the Quran, as well as authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which clarify which clarify this definition of iman and this concept of iman that is all inclusive of that which is in the heart as well as the speech that is required and the actions that are obligatory or that are commendable in the Sharia Islamia. Time for that then. What's time for that then? Right. The first of the evidence that the Shaykh mentions that support this definition of al-Iman, it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 19, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, يعني those who believe, those who believe in Allah and who believe in His messengers, those who have iman in Allah and iman in the messengers, meaning testifying to the truthfulness of the messengers, the message that they have brought, testifying that it is true, acknowledging it. Whoever has iman in Allah and acknowledges the message of the messengers, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ. These are the siddiqoon. These are the truthful. Those who are really truthful in iman, as opposed to those who claim iman. There are many who claim iman, but those who are true in iman are those who have iman in Allah and who testify to the truthfulness of the message of the messengers that He has sent. Of the scholars of the early generation of the Muslims, Mujahid, one of the great scholars of tafsir from the Tep, he said that whoever believes in Allah and in His messengers, alayhi salam, then that one is a siddiq. Yani whoever believes in Allah and who testifies to the truthfulness of the messengers, he is Siddiq. Some of the other scholars said, it is those who never doubted in what the messengers have brought when they brought it. Yani they testify to their truthfulness, tasdiqan kamilan. Yani having perfect conviction in what they have brought, without doubting. And this is one of the conditions of true iman, that those who believe, after they believe, they don't doubt. After they believe, but they are certain about it. Of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is al-ilm wal-yaqeen. That you know its meaning and you are certain about it, not doubting. So the siddiqoon, they are those who believe in Allah and who testify to the truthfulness of the messengers, and then they have no doubt after that. They never doubted. When the messengers came and informed them of their message, they believed in it. They testified to the truthfulness of it. The Shaykh says, the siddiqoon, they are the highest degree of creation. They are on the highest level of all the creatures. It is the highest level, yani, after the level of the Anbiya in this world as well as the stations in the next life. Yani, the highest level, the highest station that one can achieve in this world or in the next life. After the station of the Anbiya, after the prophets, it is As-Siddiqoon. As-Siddiq, that is the highest level after the prophets. Unlike what some have said, claiming otherwise. Indeed, the Shaykh, he says here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in this ayah, that whoever has realized iman in Him, has faith in iman, has achieved true iman in Allah, and in His messengers, then such a one has achieved this degree, the degree of siddiq. Whoever has realized, not claimed on the tongue alone, but they have realized tahqiq al-iman, achieving real iman in their life, in their heart, and in their speech, and in their actions, in their character, and their behavior, in their manners. Whoever has achieved this, he said, they have achieved this daraja, this high degree, or this high level, or status. And what makes this more clear, and explains it, is that which has been confirmed in a sahihain, in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. It is reported on the authority of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. And in some narrations, a similar report has come from Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed the people of Jannah, that they will be looking up to the Ahlul Ghuraf, yani the people of Jannah, some of the people of Jannah, they will be looking to another people of Jannah, people who are very in very high exalted stations in the paradise, Ahlul Ghuraf fil Jannah. They are in Jannah and they are in Jannah, but they will be looking up to their high station, just like one looks up to the eastern or to the western star, which is far away in the horizon. Just as you look into the sky at a star which is high in the sky and far away on the eastern horizon or in the western sky. Just as one looks up into the sky at the star, likewise, people, some of the people in paradise would be looking up to others, Ahlul Ghuraf. They will be looking up to them as one looks up into the sky due to the superiority of some over others. The superiority of the Ahlul Ghuraf. They will be so high, people will be looking up to them as one looks up at the stars in the sky. These are in paradise, and those are in paradise, but their station and their status is far beyond what the other people of paradise will have achieved. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tilka manazul al-anbiya la yablughuha ghayruhum. Yani, that the Ahlul Ghuraf, those people in those places, is that something that is just the station for the prophets and nobody else will achieve it? Is it? It must be for the prophets. Who else can be having such an excellent status over the rest of the people of Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلَا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ رِجَالٌ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَصَدَّقُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He said, no, it is not only for the prophets. He said, by the one in whose hand is my life, I swear by Allah that it is for men who have believed in Allah and who have testified to the truthfulness of the messengers. It's not possible that iman can be simply the knowledge that one has in their heart or acknowledgement that is in the heart and they might achieve such. It is iman in Allah that requires all of what iman entails of the heart as well as the speech of the tongue and the actions of the body parts. Whoever has true iman in Allah and testifies to the truthfulness of the messengers, the Shaykh said here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the status of those who achieve such. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Then the Shaykh says that their iman in Allah and their testifying to the truthfulness of the messengers, it is within and without. It is inwardly and outwardly. Meaning it is not just a show, but it has to be truly inside the heart of the human being as well as what they are doing outwardly. He said it is in their aqidah, their belief, and it is in their character, and it is in their actions. The iman in Allah and testifying to the prophets, it requires conviction in the heart, and it also requires actions. It requires manners and behavior and morals and character. And also he said, it is وَفِي كَمَالِ طَاعَتِهِمْ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And this is very important. It is also in the perfection or the completeness of their obedience to Allah and His messengers. The perfection or the completeness of obedience. Somebody is not praying, they said, but I have iman in my heart. Where's obedience to Allah and obedience to the messengers? They are engaging in that which is haram. And they said, but I have iman in my heart. Don't question me. Iman is in my heart. That is not iman. And it is the iman that requires obedience to Allah and obedience to the messengers. So whoever fulfills these things, it is through this that one achieves the iman in Allah and the confirmation of the truthfulness of the messengers. It is through these things that this high level of siddiq is achieved, by having this kind of iman and this tasdiq or confirmation of the truthfulness of the message of the messengers. Then the Shaykh says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in His book, in the Quran, with this comprehensive general iman, al-iman al-aam al-shamil, Allah has ordered us in His book with this type of iman. Not the iman that they are claiming, but the iman that includes all of this. And that which follows it, from al-inqiyad wal-istislam. Yani that which follows this all-inclusive, comprehensive iman, which requires also what? What? That which follows it, that which is included with it, if it is true iman, then it also requires al-inqiyad. Obedience and submission and compliance and istislam. Willing surrender and submission. Al-inqiyad wal-istislam. Not claiming iman and then refusing and rebelling what Allah has ordered us with and what the Prophet ﷺ have ordered us with. Claiming that we are living in modern times. Are we living in a different situation? No, it means compliance. Willing surrender, submission, obedience to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us with and that which the Prophet ﷺ have ordered us with. And these are the ones who fulfill this. These are the ones that Allah has praised. Allah has praised those people who have this type of iman and this type of submission and compliance. Surrender to Allah. Allah has praised them. And He said, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 136. And the Shaykh says that this is the greatest ayat of iman. It is the greatest of the ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَصْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوْتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised those who have this comprehensive iman. Those who fulfill this type of iman that He mentioned in this verse where Allah ordered us, قولوا, it is a command. It is a command. It is not optional. قولوا, that you must say. And it is not just held in the heart and you keep it secret, but you have to say it. You have to pronounce it. قولوا آمنا بالله. You believe in Allah, say it. Say it. Say I believe in Allah. Say we believe in Allah. وما أنزل إلينا. And we believe in that which has been revealed to us, the Qur'an. That which has been revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. The Qur'an and the authentic sunnah. Because the sunnah is also revelation. The Qur'an and the sunnah together. We believe in Allah and we believe in that which has been revealed to us. And that which has been revealed to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the Asbat. What has been revealed to them? وَمَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى. And what has been given to Musa and Isa of revelation and laws. And what they have called the people to, the message that they brought. وَمَا أُوْتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And that which has been given to the prophets from their Lord. All of them. Yani this is the comprehensive iman that we are required to have. Not only believing in that which have come to us, but believing in that which have been revealed to those before us. Abraham and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and that which was given to Musa and Isa alayhi salam. The revelations that came to the prophets and the prophets, the messages that they brought. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ. We don't make any distinction between any of them, but we believe in all of them. Believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the message that he brought requires that we believe in every prophet that was sent to humanity, because believing in the prophet means believing in Allah. We are not believing in the Prophet as an object of worship, but we are believing the message that he has brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That message is the same. The essence of it is the same. Therefore, believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requires believing in all of them. And then he closed the ayah saying, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are in submission to Allah. In submission. Yani obedience, compliance, surrender, submission. It is not only a claim of believing, but also requires action. And this is very clear in this ayah, that it requires comprehensive iman. Believing in all that has been revealed, in addition to complying with what we have been commanded with. Yani submitting ourselves in Islam, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered His servants to have iman in all of these great fundamentals, all of these usul, al-usul al-azima. The iman that is comprehensive, all-inclusive, of every book that Allah has revealed, and every messenger that Allah has sent. All of this, it is inclusive of it. And it also requires al-ikhlas, believing in this with ikhlas and istislam wal-inqiyad lahu wahdahu. Yani that we have to have sincerity in this belief and what it requires of us. And we have to resign ourselves and surrender ourselves and comply and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the Shaykh says, this last meaning, the ikhlas and the istislam, surrender and inqiyad, compliance to Allah alone, that is what is meant by the words of Allah, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. That we are Muslimun. We are those who submit, we comply, we obey. As for those who claim Islam but they don't obey, then they are far from the true Islam and the true Iman. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has praised the believers. He has praised, this praise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has praised the believers in the end of this chapter, same chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 285. He has praised them for fulfilling these matters, for complying with them, for believing and complying and surrendering to Allah. In this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. That the messenger, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has believed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring this belief and he is acknowledging it, that the messenger has believed in what has been sent down to him from his Lord. He believes in it with real, complete, comprehensive iman. Wal mu'minun, and the true believers who are with him, they also, Allah is praising them for their true iman. Every one of them believes in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. And we make no distinction between any one of his messengers. And we believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers without making any distinction between them. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَطَعْنَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't close this ayat without making it clear that iman requires actions. Those who believe, He said, they not only believed, but they said, سَمِعْنَا وَطَعْنَا. What do we say? They said, we hear and we obey. What Allah has ordered us with, we hear and we obey. And these people say, we hear but we disobey. They disobey Allah in every matter, small and great. And yet they claim iman. But the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised for having real iman, He said, they believe in what has been revealed, yani to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believe in it. And they believe in the angels and the books and the messengers without making any distinction between them. And they also comply. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They hear and they obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. O our Lord, forgive us. Yani we comply and we obey. But if we fall short, forgive us for our shortcomings. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And they acknowledge that we have to return to Allah. It is to Allah that we return. يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. It is to Allah that we have to return and we have to answer for what we have done in this world. If we have fallen short, then we ask Allah's forgiveness because we know that we will be called to account on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who are with him from the mu'mineen, that they believed in these usul, in these fundamentals, believing in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers, believing in this, they believed in it. And they didn't make any distinction between any of the prophets and messengers, believing in some and rejecting others. But we believed in all of them. Indeed, they believed in every one of them. And they believed in what has been given to them from Allah, yani the revelation and the message that they have been sent with. And likewise, they adhere to obedience to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they said, we hear and we obey. And then they ask their Lord to help them to realize, to achieve this obedience, hearing and obeying. They ask Allah to help them to achieve it. Because the tawfiq or success and obedience to Allah is from Him. It is not that anyone is so great, but it is only by the favor and mercy of Allah. So they ask Allah to give them the ability to obey Him. And they ask Allah to forgive them their shortcomings if they have fallen short in any iman. And they have also acknowledged that the return of the whole of creation, every creature, is all returning to Allah, who will reward them for what they have done, or what they have fulfilled of the rights of iman and that which they have failed in. It is Allah who they will return to, meaning it is Allah who will reward everyone for what they have done and what they have failed to do. He will call them to account for it. And this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the followers of the prophets, Isa alayhi salam and other than him, that they said, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَا الشَّاهِدِينَ. They said, our Lord, we have believed in what you have sent. We have believed and we have followed the messenger. We have believed and we have obeyed. We have submitted. We have followed the messenger and what he has commanded us with. So write us along with the shahideen, those who bear witness, who give testimony to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 53. And the Shaykh closes by the comment on this verse saying that they believed in their hearts and they adhered to that which they believed in their hearts and they surrendered, yani they complied by their body parts. What they believed, they complied with what it required of them. And they asked their Lord to write them down with the Shahideen, those who bear witness to His Tawheed. And they asked Him to help them to realize the fulfilling of this, yani this tawheed, to fulfill it in their life, qawlan wa amalan wa i'tiqadan, in speech and actions as well as in beliefs. Is that the end call? 5 minutes? Tayyib. The last evidence that we will take from what the Shaykh has mentioned is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anfal chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. The saying of Allah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَقَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that verily the believers are only these. إِنَّمَا, it means it is only these who are the believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, they are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts feel fear. There is fear in their hearts. When Allah is mentioned, it means something to them when they hear the name of Allah. They don't take it lightly. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts feel fear. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, and when the verses of Allah, the ayats of the Qur'an, are recited to them, those ayats increase their iman. Hearing what Allah has revealed, believing that it is true, cause their iman to increase. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَقَّلُونَ, and they have tawakkul or trust and reliance in their Lord alone. How did he describe them further? They are those who perform the salat and those who spend from that which they have been provided with, the sustenance that Allah has given them. They spend it in the way of Allah. He said, these whose hearts tremble at the mention of the name of Allah and whose iman is increased by the ayats of Allah and who put their trust in Allah alone and who perform the salat and who spend in the way of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These are the true believers, the true iman. This is the true iman. It requires actions. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they have high degrees with their Lord. A high level will be awarded to them. And مَغْفِرَ, forgiveness. And رِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, a noble reward. الْجَنَّةِ. The Shaykh says on this ayat that Allah has described the believers with these sifat, these characteristics, which include fulfilling the fundamentals of the deen as well as its branches. The fundamentals of what we believe in, as well as the branches of what we are required to act upon, inwardly and outwardly, or outwardly and inwardly. For indeed, he has described them as having iman in these things, the iman that its effect shows. The effect of that iman is seen in their aqeedah, in their conviction, and it is seen in their speech, and it is seen in their actions which are done outwardly, or that which is done inwardly. Yani the effect of the iman is seen in their conviction as well as in their speech and their actions. And then he said, while he has confirmed iman in their hearts, he also mentions the increase of that iman. That they have iman, and their iman is also increased. And that is the proof of increase of iman. That when the ayats are recited to them, zadatum iman. And the iman increases. As much as the ayats of the Quran are recited to them, the ayats of Allah, the iman increases. And their fear increases as much as Allah's name is mentioned. And they are those who have in their hearts secretly. They are those who rely and depend upon Allah. They put their trust in Allah. They rely upon Allah in all of their affairs. And they consider their situation to be in the hands of Allah. Yani they refer everything to Allah. They rely upon Allah alone. Along with that, it's not sufficient. But along with that, they are those who perform the prayers, whether the obligatory or the voluntary prayers. And they perform those prayers, yani the outward part of it as well as the inward part of it. And they fulfill the zakat, spending from that which Allah has given them in the obligatory matters as well as in the mustahab, yani those things which are commendable. In closing, that whoever is described according to this description, yani whoever is fitting this description, then there is nothing remaining of good that he would seek. And there is nothing remaining of evil that he should flee from. And he has achieved it. And for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who have done like this. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These are really the true believers. Those who deserve to be described in reality with this description. They are those who indeed have fulfilled that which is required of iman openly and inwardly. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Or there's one point remaining here at the end of this section that I have failed to mention. The Shaykh says in closing, then Allah mentioned their reward. The reward for those who are the true believers. He said it is maghfirah, forgiveness. Which means that they would be relieved from every evil and everything that a person and he finds distasteful. And they would be raised degrees in the presence of their Lord, and they would be given a noble sustenance. Yani which includes the bounties of Allah that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and that which has not been even conceived in the heart of a human being. InshaAllah, just quickly we will look at the handout and the questions that are given with the handout. And after that, if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we will take them. The first question is give a brief description from the author's muqaddimah, from his introduction of what this essay consists of. The Shaykh said that this essay consists of researches dealing with al-Iman. And this is the most important of the fundamentals. And he said it will be based on the Quran and Sunnah. And he mentioned three main things. The first of them is the tafsir or explanation of Iman. The second of them is the fundamentals and the important components of Iman and what Iman is drawn from. The third thing that he said he will talk about, it is the benefits and the man. The second question discussed the author's definition of al-Iman. Yani the basic definition that the Shaykh rahimahullah has given concerning Iman, it is a definite, decisive confirmation and complete and perfect acknowledgement of all that Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us to believe in. And this requires any submission and compliance inwardly and outwardly. And it is reflected in the heart, in the speech, and in the body parts. And then he mentioned the saying of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, that Iman, it is speech, and it is action, and it is conviction. It increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. And that definition we have mentioned previously in the original, in the first lecture. Number three, mention some of the usul of al-Iman that have been presented by Shaykh Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. From the most important of what he mentioned, from the fundamentals of Iman, it is the confession of all that is the right of Allah concerning His beautiful names and His perfect characteristics and the actions that are a result of them. The second of them is acknowledgement and confession of the rights that are exclusive to Allah alone, yani His right to being worshipped, yani worshipping Him alone and singling Him out for worship for every type of ibadah. The third of them is the confession and acknowledgement of all that Allah has informed us about concerning His angels and His forces, those things which existed previously or might exist in the future, including the matters related to the Day of Judgment. And the fourth of them is having faith in all of the prophets and what they have been described with in the Quran and Sunnah of praiseworthy characteristics. And the last of them, it is the fulfillment of all that is required in the Islamic law and what is required of the inner truths that a Muslim should believe in. Question number four, by what means can one achieve or realize the level of Siddiq as mentioned in Surah Al-Hadid chapter 57 verse 19. The Shaykh said that this may be achieved having true iman in Allah and testifying to the truthfulness of the message of the messengers, yani complying with that which they have brought inwardly and outwardly. And that is reflected in our aqidah, our belief, as well as in our character and actions. And it requires complete obedience to Allah and His messenger. Number five mentioned the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which confirms this point. It is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, reported in al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said that the people of Jannah, some of them would be looking up to those who are the Ahlul Ghurf, the people who are in the high exalted places in Jannah, just as one looks at a high star, eastern or western star in the sky, they would be looking up due to the difference or the excellence or the superiority of some over others. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ, is this exclusively for the Prophets and nobody else can achieve it? And he said, he swore by Allah that it is not exclusively for the Prophets, but it is for those people who have true iman in Allah and who testify to the truthfulness of the messengers. That means this level of Siddiq and this high level in paradise, it will be achieved by these two things, having true iman in Allah and testifying to the truthfulness of the message of the messengers. Question number six, with what has Allah ordered the believers in the ayat, the saying of Allah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 136, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ, to the end of the ayat. What is required, what Allah has ordered us with in this ayat, it is to believe in Allah and to believe in what has been revealed to us as well as all that have been revealed to the prophets before and what has been given to them without making any distinction, and submission and compliance, yani surrender in Islam as Muslims to what Allah has ordered us with. Question number seven, identify the conviction in the heart and the compliance of the body parts in the ayat, in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 285, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه, yani the compliance, the conviction in the heart, it is the saying that the messenger believed, that they believed in what has been revealed to him, the message and the revelation that has been given to him, as well as believing in the angels and the prophets and the messengers, and the compliance of the body parts, it is the saying of Allah, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا, they said, we hear and we obey. The last question, what are some of the characteristics of the true mu'min mentioned in the ayat in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, the saying of Allah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, yani the characteristics that are mentioned in this ayat of the true believer is that when Allah's name is mentioned, they experience fear in their heart. Yani they are conscious of Allah and it is something that has meaning to them. And when the verses of Allah are recited, their iman is increased. And they are those who rely and depend upon Allah, as well as those who fulfill the prayers, who perform the prayers, and who spend from what Allah has given them. He said these are the true believers. These are the characteristics that he has mentioned in this ayat. This is the end of the questions. If there are any questions or any comments or any corrections from the brothers or the sisters, if the sisters have a question, they can call. The brothers have a question, you can ask first.